صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آج میں صحابہ مسیح موعود علیہ السلام
Hazur says, "Today I will relate the accounts of the initiations, that is, the bets of the companions of the promised Messiah on whom be peace." Arab Ahmadis especially often and regularly make this request, that please relate these incidents of the companions. For whilst on the one hand, every one of their incidents demonstrates the sincerity and loyalty, the level of sacrifice, and the difficulties that these companions experienced after coming into the fold of Ahmadiyyat. There, on the other hand, it also affords us the opportunity of partaking in the company of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Whatever the incident may be, under whichever description or subject matter, the lofty aspect of the quality of the life of the promised Messiah alayhi salam manifests itself. We come to learn of the ambience and atmosphere of the blessed assembly of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. These companions are an example and model for us in this era, because these are those people who are the direct corroborators and manifestors of وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحُقُوا بِهِمْ, and among others from among them who have not yet joined them. By establishing their personal examples and models, these companions have made it easy for us to transverse the stages of spiritual progress. Thus, these incidents are essential for the families of these holy persons. They are role models and guiding principles for them. However, not only this, but the companions are also examples and models of steadfastness and progress for every single coming Ahmadi. This is why new Ahmadis especially request for these incidents to be related. And as I mentioned, through these accounts, we come to learn of the life of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, which become a source of enlightenment and illumination for our faith. The first account is of Hazrat Nizamuddin Sahib. This was previously related in a different light. This is the detailed narration. Nizamuddin Sahib relates that we, the Ahli Hadith, considered ourselves to be righteous and those who restrain from everything false and forbidden. Once in perhaps 1902, it was the month of March. Some of us Ahli Hadith went from Jhelum to Lahore to attend a religious convention of the Anjuman Hamayat-e-Islam Lahore. This was held annually. When we arrived at Lahore and were going towards the marquee, our Maulvi Sahib was standing beside the wall delivering a religious lecture. In one hand he was holding the Holy Quran, and from the other he was distributing some small leaflets. He would repeatedly exclaim that, "God forbid Mirza Sahib has been afflicted with leprosy because he insulted the prophets and would call himself Jesus." This Maulvi would repeatedly say this, swearing oath by God. We were shocked listening to this. We could never even imagine in our hearts that anybody could be so bold that he could possibly lie, holding the Holy Quran in one hand and swearing oath by God. We were three persons. I took one of these leaflets and started reading over it. It entailed the very same details as he had been exclaiming, that God forbid Mirza had been inflicted with leprosy, because he insulted the prophets, etc., etc. I said to my companions, that come, let us go to Qadian. Allah the Almighty wanted to take these people to the right path. He wanted to grant them the opportunity for the initiation. So thus this Maulvi making these proclamations became a means for them to go to Qadian. Thus he said, we will go to Qadian, see the state of Mirza ourselves, and then come back and report to the Mirzais ourselves. Those who say that the ulama, the scholars of the 14th century, are lies, that is, the Ahmadis who say this. We will have an eyewitness account. In this way, we will thoroughly falsify the Ahmadis. At first, my companions rejected this. However, upon my insistence, they finally agreed to go. The three of us from Lahore travelled to Batala. From there, around the Asr time in the evening, we arrived at Qadian. We went to the guest house and it was near to Maghrib time. I inquired from somebody, "Tell us the place where Mirza Sahib offers his prayers, so that we can go and stand nearby and observe him ourselves." Perhaps that same person who he had asked went along with us and told us the place where Mirza Sahib would offer his prayers. Because the time was near for his arrival, I sat in the place where Hazur was due to come and stand at my right side. My two friends sat to the right side of me. This mosque was alongside the house of Hazur. This is called Masjid Mubarak. At the time, this mosque was so small that with difficulty, six rows of worshippers could stand. In one row, not more than six people could stand. Thus, in total, there was room for 35 to 40 people. A few minutes later, the call to prayer, that is the azan for Maghrib, occurred. And then, a short while later, Hadrat Aqdas arrived. The door was very close by to us. Hazur came from there and stood beside me. The late Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib stood in front. The Mu'azzin started the takbir. Before the end of the takbir, I observed the entire body of the promised Messiah alayhi salam from head to toe. When my eyes cast upon the blessed hair and beard of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, the state of my heart transformed altogether. I said within my heart, "O God, I have never seen anyone with these features until today. What was his hair like? They were like threads of gold. The eyes were cast down, providing a perfect embodiment of modesty. The excellence and beauty of his hands and feet was separately attracting me. I was immersed in the thoughts that, O God, is this that same person who the Maulvis declare is a liar and insulter of the prophets?" Whilst engulfed in these thoughts, the Imam suddenly said, "Allahu Akbar," and the prayer commenced. Although I was offering the prayer, until the salam, that is the end of prayer, I remained shocked. Our Maulvi, whose beard is long, who is holding the Quran in his hand and swearing oath by God, who is using extremely derogatory words with regards to the promised Messiah alayhi salam repeatedly, that Mirza, God forbid, has been inflicted with leprosy. So this created new doubts and misgivings in my heart. I would at times waver to the thought, could a person who held the Holy Quran and swore oath by God ever tell a lie? He could never imagine what their Maulvis could say. I thought that perhaps this person standing in the prayer is not Mirza, it is someone else. This is all concocted to deceive new persons. However, when the illuminating and pure countenance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam came before me, my heart would say, perhaps that person who was holding the Quran lied out of enmity so that people would not go towards Qadian. In any case, prayers came to an end. The promised Messiah alayhi salam sat upon his high place. He called out that if Mufti Sahib is present, come forward. When Mufti Sahib came forth, the promised Messiah on whom be peace inquired, "Where is Maulvi Sahib?" I observed that Maulvi Sahib, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the Awwal, Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, got up from the very last line and came forth. The promised Messiah began a discourse regarding the plague. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, "We had informed people beforehand that I had seen angels planting black plants in the Punjab. When asked what this is, they said these are the plants of the plague. In the coming season, this will manifest in the Punjab." People mocked and ridiculed this. They said, "The plague has always remained restricted to the coastal areas. It has never come inland. But now look, the plague has now broken out in certain inner cities." In short, until the Isha, the promised Messiah continued his discourse. After offering the Isha, the promised Messiah alayhi salam went inside. We conversed amongst each other that what is this secret? Our Maulvi holds the Quran and swears oath by God, but here we see something different. In any case, in the morning we awoke. We had resolved that we would discuss with Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, who would tell the truth. That is this the same Mirza Sahib or is this somebody else? When we went into his clinic, there was a Maulvi Sahib who was raising a criticism. That Maulvi said, "All the holy people and prophets who came before, after spending a duration of hunger or starvation, would eat very simple food. However, we have heard that Mirza Sahib eats plough and zarda." Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I responded, "According to the Holy Quran, zarda and plough are permissible. If you have read anywhere that it is forbidden, do let me know." During the gap, I took out the leaflet and presented it before that Maulvi. I said that one of our Maulvis, holding the Quran and swearing oath by God, would say that God forbid Mirza Sahib is inflicted with leprosy. Yet we have been told that this person we have seen is Mirza Sahib, and he is in good health. So tell us, is this person who we saw in the prayer Mirza Sahib, or is this someone else? Khalifa Awwal also took out that same leaflet from his pocket. He said, "Maulvis have also sent us this leaflet. Now this is Mirza on one side, and that is your Maulvi who lied with the Quran in his hand. It is up to you to believe who is true." So what else was left? I started bursting out in tears. I said to myself in my heart, "Wretched person, will you still not take the bet, the initiation? It is true, these Maulvis are the Dajjal, the Antichrist of this era." At Zohar, the three of us said to the promised Messiah that accept our initiation. The promised Messiah said, "Do not haste. Let it not happen that the Maulvis once again cause you to stumble, thus causing you to become greater sinners." I said, weeping, "Hazur, I will never slip." In any case, on the next day, all three of them took the bet, the initiation, and then returned back to their homes. This is an account of Mia Abdul Aziz Sahib. He states, "In 1891, I was transferred to the area of Sekwa. I became acquainted with Mia Jamaluddin, Mia Imamuddin, and Mia Khairuddin Sahib. They mentioned the claim of being the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi of Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. Because in my heart I had no rancor or enmity against the promised Messiah alayhi salam, I was not displeased by what they said. However, all that I thought was, why do Maulvis say as they do? The reason for this was also because my forefathers were very reverent and affectionate to the Maulvis because of their religion. This was the same reason why I accepted what the Maulvis had to say." When Mia Imamuddin and the others gave me the book Izala Oham to read, before I started reading it, I supplicated to God, "O Lord, I am entirely ignorant and uneducated. Establish upon my heart whatever the truth is, according to your knowledge." This prayer was rapidly accepted. As soon as I started reading Izala Oham, I had so much satisfaction in my heart that there remained no doubt or misgivings with regards to the truthfulness of the promised Messiah. My faith gained strength upon strength. Thereafter, when I went to Qadian for the first time to see the promised Messiah on whom be peace with Mia Khairuddin, I thus saw the promised Messiah alayhi salam. My heart bore witness to the great satisfaction that this countenance is not one of a liar and fabricator. Subsequently, I said to Mia Khairuddin at the time, I have never uttered any profanities with regards to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, but if I have ever done so, then I seek repentance. For this is not the countenance of a liar. This thus became a means for his initiation. The real thing is purity of intention. When seeking help from God Almighty, it is to this that the promised Messiah on whom be peace has repeatedly inculcated and indicated towards. When you read my books, read it with purity of intention. For even Maulvis read the books of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, but they only do so for the purpose of raising criticisms. Aside from a filthy mentality, there is nothing in their minds. Even the Quran states about itself that only the pure will understand it. So therefore, what is the state and condition of any other book? In any case, this was the state of the Maulvis 150 years ago, and this same state remains within them today. Other Dr. Muhammad Abdullah Sahib relates, I was 18 or 19 years old. In December 1903, in a dream, I see the promised Messiah on whom be peace. I had never seen him before this. The promised Messiah inquired, whose follower are you? I replied that I am the follower of Muhammad Rasulullah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, I had the opportunity to read Aina Kamalat Islam and Taryak al-Kuru, the books of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Studying this, I was inclined towards Jamaat Ahmadiyya. In 1906, I performed the Istikhara prayer. I was working in Gojra district, Lalpur. After the morning prayer, I saw a vision whilst wide awake. In the vision, I was shown some stairs. Upon each stair is a board. On the topmost stair, upon red-coloured flooring on a white board, written in bold letters is Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian, the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi. In September 1906, in Sialkot, I went to meet my in-laws. My father-in-law was working as an official there. I met Hazrat Dr. Abdul Sattar Shah Sahib, who was the in-charge of the hospital Raya. I went along with him to Qadian. After Zuhr, I saw the promised Messiah on whom be peace. The image and countenance of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, I saw in the dream was the exact same countenance I saw here, and he was wearing the very same clothes. This thus became a source of his taking the initiation. Hazrat Malik Umar Khattab Sahib of Khushab relates the following account. When I reached the age of adolescence, I heard about the claim of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, to be an appointed one of Allah. I became enthusiastic to as rapidly as possible reach him and take the initiation, the bid. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, in the year 1905, with my heartfelt wish, I arrived at Qadian. I saw a tiny hamlet where there was a guest house made of mud houses and only a few students in the dars being taught by Hazrat Hakim Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He is depicting the scene of Qadian. It is a small hamlet, guest houses made of mud, and just a few students. Such a large claim, he said, and this is the hamlet. I was so surprised by this. What he was trying to say is that this was such a major claim, yet this was the state of the place where he lived. He was shocked by this. Evidently, he would be surprised. He could not believe this. However, he continues to say, despite this fact, my heart testified to the truth. Despite witnessing this, he had firm belief that this claim of the promised Messiah alayhi salam was most certainly true. Thus, hearkening to this call, without even meeting Maulvi Sahib, who was from the same area, that is, Hazrat Khalif Tumsi I, I sent a note in to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. In the note, I made a request that Hazrat, please come out. I want to take the bed, the initiation. Please come out, as I want to take the bet and I have to return today. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, sent back a note in writing. At the moment, I have some colouring placed on. At 1 o'clock, the azan, the call to prayer, will be called and I will come to Masjid Mubarak. During this time, two people who were six came running into the guest house. There was no one else there apart from me. They said, quickly call the barber. That is, they wanted to cut their hair and then take the initiation. I said I was unaware. It was very difficult to find a barber. I also informed the promised Messiah alayhi salam of these two people by sending a note in. The promised Messiah alayhi salam gave the same reply. I inquired about the anxiety of these two Sikh people. They said, both of us, brothers, live near Gardian, and we work in the army. My father fell ill and we returned home. He was in extreme pain. One of the elders of the Sikh people said to my father that recite La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and you will pass away. So he did this and he passed away. This affected us and we considered that instead of saying this on the deathbed, we should say this kalama, the Muslim creed, beforehand. Mirza Sahib had made a claim and we said also the ladies wanted to meet you. However, a hue and cry ensued. All the Sikh people gathered together. We left to Gardian. They are coming behind us with sticks. There is a need for haste. During this time, the azan happened, the call to prayer. Along with them, I arrived at Masjid Mubarak. It was a tiny mosque that was entirely packed, that there was no room to even get in. This account of the two Sikh brothers, I have asked for further investigation at who they were or whether they actually even became Ahmadis. Nonetheless, this has been written in this account. He said there was no space in the mosque when we reached. I sat amongst the shoes and I was unacquainted with anyone. The promised Messiah opened the door of the mihrab. People stood up in the mosque and stood before the promised Messiah on whom be peace. The promised Messiah sat down and I sat down before him. The promised Messiah said, who are you? I said, I have come for the bet. I was the one who sent that note. Maulvi Sahib requested for the bet to be taken from those who had been sitting before me. The promised Messiah alayhi salam took my hand and put it upon his. He said, put your hands upon this child. Subsequently, according to his command, everyone put their hand upon mine. The initiation took place. Silent prayers occurred and then the prayers were offered. Hadrat Rahmatullah Sahib, pensioner, relates. The promised Messiah alayhi salam stayed in Ludhiana for a few months. I was approximately 17 or 18 years old at the time. It was the time when I was a student. I would frequently present myself before the promised Messiah on whom be peace. I witnessed the spiritual light emanating from the promised Messiah alayhi salam. This compelled my heart to consider that this could not be the countenance of a liar. Yet Maulvi people put me in misgivings and doubts. During this time, there was a debate of the promised Messiah with Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Batalvi. I was also in that debate. After that, for my guidance, Allah the Almighty arranged for the two parts of his Allahuham to be sent to me. They were replete with spiritual light and guidance. God is aware that I would not sleep for most of the night. Sometimes I fell asleep with my head in the book. Otherwise, I would continue reading the book. I would weep and cry that, oh Allah, what is this? Why do Maulvis leave the Quran? Thus, if one possesses taqwa, that is righteousness, he reads these books in this condition. He said, God is aware that the flame of love continued increasing in my heart. I wrote to Maulvi Rashid Ahmed Sahib. The promised Messiah alayhi salam proves the death of Jesus from 30 verses of the Quran. Please write to me with regards to Jesus being alive from the Quran and the Hadith. Also, kindly provide me the rebuttal with regards to the 30 verses of the Holy Quran the promised Messiah alayhi salam has presented. I shall publish these. I received the response. Do not debate with regards to the life and death of Jesus, peace be upon him, with either Mirza Sahib or his followers. Because you will find many verses regarding the death of Jesus. This is a controversial issue. Debate on the issue that how is the promised Messiah the Messiah? So the advice given to him is, do not debate whether Jesus is alive or dead. Debate on the point that how is Mirza Sahib the promised Messiah? For the Holy Quran supports the concept of the death of Jesus. He said, I replied in kind, if Jesus is dead, then Hadhrat Mirza Ghulam Muhammad is true. I received the response that you have been influenced by Mirza Sahib. I will pray for you. I then replied, you should pray for yourself. Ultimately, I fell supplicating upon the divine threshold, weeping and crying. I shook the divine threshold with my prayers. I supplicated, O Lord, I desire your pleasure. I am ready to sacrifice every honor for you, and I will accept every type of disgrace. Show your mercy upon me. In a short while, I swear by God, in whose hands is my life, that approximately 4 o'clock in the morning on 25th December 1893, on Monday, I had the opportunity to see the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The details of this dream is that I was performing the ablution in a village for the Asr prayers. Someone came and said to me, the Prophet of Arabia has come. He will stay in this country. I said, where? He said, these tents are of the Holy Prophet. I quickly offered the prayers and left. The Holy Prophet was among some companions. After Aslamu Alaikum, I had the blessings of shaking his hand. I sat down respectfully. The Prophet of Arabia, that is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was delivering a speech. According to my ability, I understood. Then he would speak in Urdu. He said, I am true. Do not deny me, and so on and so forth. I said, Amanna wa saddakna, you are true, O Prophet of Allah. The entire village consisted of Muslims, but no one would come near. I was shocked that what is this scene in the dream? Today was a day for Muslims to be sacrificed. This was the early period of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was informed that the Holy Prophet would remain here. However, Hazur said to leave it. I said, crying, that Hazur is going. How will I be able to meet you? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his blessed hands upon my shoulder and said, do not fret. We will meet you ourselves. I understood the meaning of this dream. Hazrat Mirza Sahib is the Prophet of Arabia. I was made to understand this practically. I wrote a letter of initiation of Bid. On 23rd December 1898, on Tuesday, I arrived in Qadian. After the Maghrib prayer, I had the blessed opportunity of taking the Bid. Allah the Almighty's grace granted me that steadfastness and firmness of belief could shake my resolution at all. This was all the blessings of the company of the promised Messiah, an opportunity I gained regularly. I was proud to have pressed the hands of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. After I professed my belief, I was inflicted with many problems and difficulties. Allah the Almighty not only kept me safeguarded, in fact, He provided me with many more rewards. My father, brothers, and close relatives all became Ahmadis. All praise belongs to Allah. Out of fear of writing too long, I would write further accounts and incidents. It is also worth mentioning that I would recite the Durood Taj, this is a type of Durood, even after becoming an Ahmadi. This is also a type of Durood that they have formed. My teacher, Abdul Qadir Sahib Ludhianvi, who became Ahmadi after me, he would forbid me, this is shirk, do not recite this. He said, ask the promised Messiah and then I will leave it. Coincidentally, at a Jalsa Salana, Maulvi Sahib and I were both present. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, went out for a walk. Maulvi Sahib said on this occasion, Hazur Munshi Rahmatullah Sahib recites Durood Taj. I forbid him that this is shirk. The promised Messiah, looking at me, said, what is this? Recited Durood Taj. What is this Durood that you recite? I recited the Durood Taj. The promised Messiah said, there is no shirk in this. Maulvi Sahib said, this contains the words, Dafe ul Balai wal Wabai wal Kahate wal Maraze wal Alam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam responded, people do not understand the rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is shirk here? The Prophet's name is Dafi ul Bala Waba. He delivered a long address. Maulvi Sahib became happy. An article was written for the benefit of all later. Hazrat Sayyid Mahmood Alam Sahib relates. In 1903, my elder brother, Sayyid Mahbub Alam Sahib in the Patna city, was going in a certain direction. Two people passing by said, "In Punjab, somebody has claimed to be the Mahdi." My brother had a great love for the Holy Quran since childhood. For this reason, he became shocked after listening to this, that who should I ask about who made this claim? The people who mentioned this have passed by. Perhaps the station master is aware of this. His idea proved to be true. He went to the station master, and he learned about the name and the location, and he came back home. He wrote a letter to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. "I do not know about your condition. I only have heard your name. If, very kindly, you can send your literature or books, I will return it to you after reading them." Subsequently, Hazrat Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib would from time to time send some books. My brother would read all of them and return them. People started opposing since that time. However, my respected brother remained steadfast. After some time, he took the bet, the initiation. Sometime later, through my brother, I started reading the books and took the bet, the initiation. A short while before accepting Ahmadiyyat, I went home from the city. Coincidentally, I slept alongside my father. In a dream, my father saw Hadhrat Imam Hussein, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, "This son of yours will become an extremely important and prominent lawyer." After I became an Ahmadi, I mentioned to my father that the interpretation of your dream was that I was going to become an Ahmadi. When you saw that I was going to become a very prominent person, this has been fulfilled by me becoming an Ahmadi. After this, for 2 years, I fell ill to a very serious illness. This illness remained for a long time, near to 2 years. It was a very dangerous illness. I had not even fully recovered from this when I had the keen desire to go to Qadian. In fact, I had a craze to go to Qadian. In this couplet of poetry, it says that this love has affected him to such an extent that in the love for the beloved, wounds and ointments seem the same. He relates, "My brother insisted that in Qadian there are no treasures. Thus, when I resolved to go to Qadian, he stated that there is no wealth or treasures in Qadian, so if you are in any case going there, pass your matriculation examination so you do not put yourself into difficulty. My parents were non-Ahmadis. Thus, there was no hope of obtaining provisions for the journey from them. In short, nobody supported me in this way towards the journey, neither my brother nor my parents. Because of my illness, my body was extremely frail and weak. I had not the energy to even walk a few miles. In fact, it can be said in other words that I did not even have the energy to walk 1 mile. However, Allah the Almighty infused my heart with a passion, and I became prepared to undergo the journey by foot. At the time, I was in Patna. When I was about to set off, people advised me to meet your parents before departing. However, I rejected this advice because I said it was possible that the wailing and crying of my mother would affect my resolve and determination negatively, to the extent that I would abandon my intention to go to Qadian. In any case, I started walking and kept on walking. On the way, I wrote a card to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, that please pray for me. This is the circumstance of my journey. I have no money. I am extremely weak of health, but I have resolved to undergo this journey. I am very frail and very weak. I wrote a card to my brother as well, because at the time he was somewhere else, and I informed him that I am going to Qadian. If I reach Qadian, then I will write to you from there. If on the way I die, then nobody would even know where my dead body would be. I had taken some precautionary measures for the journey. I had obtained a map of the railway line. I had quickly sold some books and kept some money with me. I was extremely weak and the journey was very long. Thus, for 50 or 60 miles, I travelled by rail. This was for the reason that if I started becoming extremely weak in my health and demonstrated my frailness, then I would not have the endurance to return back, because I already have traveled 50 or 60 miles, and I would not be able to turn back. Instead of returning, I would go on walking forward. During this journey, I would walk 30 miles a day. Wherever I was at night, I would stay. At times, I would stay at the station, and at times, somewhere else. Both my feet became wounded. I would pray, O Lord, have honor for the blisters upon my feet. When at night I would stop by somewhere, due to extreme pain, I would not be able to move my feet. In the morning, I would offer my prayer and try to set off, but my feet would not move. With great difficulty, I brought them to move. In the beginning, I would walk very slowly. A few minutes later, I would come to full speed. It was impossible for me to wear shoes any longer, because they were filled with blisters and wounds. In fact, the skin had been removed and there was only meat left. However, I had a passionate and keen desire to reach Kardian, so I kept on walking. At times, pebbles and at times stones would pierce me and injure me. Sometimes I would walk along the rail track and sometimes on the normal road. I had to go through very dangerous places. There were thousands of monkeys and baboons en route. Seeing this terrifying sight would shake one to the core. I went through the city of Aligarh, but I have no idea how it is. That is, he went through it, but I do not know how it was, because my purpose was something else, and I kept on walking through. I do not know how the buildings of the colleges were. I kept on walking, and on one side I saw some white buildings. I asked somebody nearby that what is this building. Upon this, he said, this is the building of the college. After this, he kept on walking. I walked through Delhi, but did not stay there for even 1 minute, because my ultimate objective was something else. My ultimate purpose was not to meet the holy people there. I did not want to leave my ultimate objective for even 1 second. With my wounded feet, I arrived in Kardian. I came to the guest house. After a few minutes, Hadrat Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, brought a glass of milk to me. There was no money in my pocket. For this reason, I turned down his glass of milk. Finally, upon his persistence, when he said, "Do not worry about the money. We are not taking any money from you. Take this glass of milk." Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, that the first item of food or drink I received in Kardian was milk. Many people came there, but nobody else was given a glass of milk. Only I was presented with this. From that day until this day, I am unaware of everything. Then I met the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah kept on asking about the circumstances. People started taking the bed, and the promised Messiah himself asked me about the bed. I was pressing his leg at the time, so this was a craze that benefited me. Otherwise, how today would my name be counted amongst the list of the companions, the Sahaba? This was the madness that profited me and benefited me. It is Allah who gives honor to the people, and it is Allah who disgraces who He pleases. He relates later, Hadrat Khalif Tamzi I treated his wounds. He appointed Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib to teach him. Later, Hadrat Khalif Tamzi I would teach him himself. That is to say, Hadrat Khalif Tamzi I would treat the wounds on his feet himself. Hadrat Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib and Hadrat Khalif Tamzi I would teach him. He writes after that in May 1908, when the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, went to Lahore. After, Hadrat Khalif Tamzi I was summoned. Hadrat Khalif Tamzi I took me along with him. At the time of the demise of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, I was standing beside his right arm. I came with the janazah to Kardian. When Hadrat Khalif Tamzi I took the bed in the garden, I was sitting on the bedstead with him. At the time, he delivered a speech. Hazrat Mir Nasir Nawab Sahib would cry and wail and ask for forgiveness. That is still vivid in my mind today. After the bed, that is the initiation, the funeral, prayers were offered. Then in the house in the garden, the coffin was placed for people to see. The cloth was removed from his countenance. People came from the western door and would come and see the promised Messiah alayhi salam and exit from the eastern door. Thus, these were the few accounts of our holy personages and companions, with a deep yearning, passion, and keen desire accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salam who came. With regards to the account of Sayyid Mahmud Alam Sahib, this, in fact, is one manifestation where it is mentioned in the hadith that even if you have to crawl on your knees to meet the Mahdi, then you should do so. He endured so much difficulty and pain, but he had a firm resolve. Through this, he kept on working, and ultimately he reached his final destination. May Allah the Almighty go on elevating the rank of these companions. May Allah the Almighty also enable us to strengthen our faith and conviction. May Allah also open the hearts of the Muslims in general, that they come to recognize the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, so that they can become those who acquire the pleasure of Allah, and they can safeguard themselves from the calamities that are befalling today. That they come to fulfill the right of being in the Ummat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I would like to inform of a very sad news. Mukarram Muhtaram Hashim Sayyid Sahib, who was an old Ahmadi from here, passed away in the last few days. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hazur asked whether the janazah has come. His janazah has just come today. Inshallah, after the Friday prayers, his funeral prayers will be led by me. He would travel to and fro between London very extensively. On 11th August, he returned from here to the Saudi Arabia airport. There he started having some problem in his heart. He went straight to the clinic. There he suddenly suffered from a heart attack and passed away. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. In 2000, he went to Saudi Arabia. Before that, he lived in UK. For many years, he was unable to serve in various important Jamaat capacities. Aside from the routine Jamaat activities and offices that he held, also, in addition, I used him for very important works and tasks. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, he performed all these tasks in a very excellent manner. He was a person of many qualities, and he possessed many abilities. He had a special knack for organization. He also understood the intricacies of technical matters, and he possessed many knowledge in it. He also had vast religious knowledge. In fact, it can be said in every aspect and field of life, his knowledge and expertise were commendable. However, he was extremely humble, sociable, friendly, and soft-spoken. He was a man of humility. He was extremely compassionate and very sincere and devout. He had a very sincere and loyal connection with every single person. In chanda, jat, and financial sacrifices, he would contribute profusely. He gave due attention to the fulfillment of fulfilling the rights of others. If he saw anyone in a little bit of pain and anxiety, he would become worried himself. Until he helped that person, he would not gain respite. One of his neighbors, who is a Waqf-e Zindagi, that is a life devotee, informed me that once, due to a storm, the wooden fence between their houses here in London fell down. One day he came himself. He said, "Do not worry," as he was going to go on a journey. So he came himself and said, "I will have it fixed." A few days later, he came and fixed the fence himself. In any case, he was an extremely sincere and selfless person. He was very loyal to Khilafat. He was practically always ready to serve the Nizami Jamaat. He leaves behind a wife and one daughter. Amongst the people who wrote, Ikrama Sahib from the Arabic desk, who was sitting before me, also wrote, "He would be greatly careful of the money and property of the Jamaat and was a very intelligent person in this regard. From a Jamati perspective, he had deep insight of the internal and external affairs and matters. He was an extremely brave and courageous person. He did not care at all in his efforts to complete any work in the way of God. He was extremely kind, of high moral standing, and very sympathetic and compassionate and helpful to others. He was like a kind father for new Ahmadis, and this is the reality. Many new Ahmadis have wrote to me in this regard. Sometimes to meet new Ahmadis and to have them attached to Khilafat, he would travel 500 miles. He had the blessing of performing the Hajj and the Umrah. He had a shirt or tunic of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, which he wore and went for Hajj or Umrah, and he rubbed it alongside the Khana Kaaba. His wife writes, "I remain with him 32 years in marriage. In this entire time, I never saw him wasting a minute. He was an extremely loving person who had affection for every single person. He was a true servant of Islam Ahmadiyyat. He had extreme respect for Khilafat and served it in this way. He would pray profusely and was an honest person. There is no exaggeration in what his wife has written. He spent his life on firm principles, adhering strictly to time. For over 40 years, he was a Musi who paid at the rate of 1/9. She writes that he would say that for me, Khilafat was foremost, then my family, and then everything else. His wife saw Hashim Saib's diary after his demise. Some of his dreams have been mentioned therein. In one dream, he said, "One night, four times, I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first time, his face was resplendent as the sun. He was wearing a ring in his hand. Through this, he was a very illuminating beam. He was sitting with the support of a cushion and reading something. Very sharp rays of light were coming out of this ring." In the second dream, he writes that I am in a house where Hadrat Ammajan is residing. She meets me very affectionately and warmly, and welcomes me in kind words. That is Hadrat Ammajan Usul Jahan Begum. I spend the first part of the day with her. In this entire time, Hadrat Ammajan relates many accounts of the life of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. After 5 or 6 hours passed within the dream, I reached the house of Hadrat Ammajan and the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. I spend the entire day with them. During this time, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam related to me many accounts of his blessed life and also mentioned regarding some cases. He said, when this happened, Allah gave me this revelation, and he told me the entire method of revelation and also their words. In the evening, I departed from there. In the dream, this conversation was not through words but through feeling. No countenances or faces were seen by him. In this way, he also saw me in a dream. He says to me, "I have passed away. You have led my funeral prayer." Upon this, I said that, "Yes, this is true. Go now and eat food." He said, "After this, I awoke. May Allah the Almighty provide His hospitality in heaven." For a long period of time, as I said, he lived here in the UK and he served the Jamaat in different capacities. First, Hazrat Khalif Tamasi IV did not permit him to leave the UK. He would work in various very good employments in different places. And he was told to stay here in the UK. He was a very well-educated person and was an expert in his field. In 2000, he was then permitted to leave. However, despite this fact that he was very well-educated and he was an expert, he never gave the impression that he was very well educated. This was so that arrogance could never be born. The first time I was in contact with him was after the passing away of Hazrat Khalif Tamasi IV, and I came here from Pakistan before the funeral prayer. Such a person who with great humility was preparing various statements for announcements. There were different statements that had to be published and were to be given an MTA. Whenever it was said to him that this statement should be moved in this way or this would be more appropriate, then without any complaint, he would immediately amend it. He would never say the following, that I have spent my entire life here. I am very well educated. I am an expert in these things. So therefore, my statement is better. However, he was told, he amended it accordingly. His humbleness was also a model and example for everyone. His passion for service was also an example for all. His obedience to Khilafat and love for it were also exemplary and an example. When he was about to retire beforehand, he said to me that I have carried out employment, but for a long time it is my desire to do waqf, to dedicate my life. The reality was, he had said this to me many times before, that I desired to do waqf, I desired to dedicate my life. But I would always say to him, wherever you are at present, you are needed there. Consider yourself a waqf, a life devotee. In fact, in the manner he was working more than a waqf zindagi, a life devotee. He would remind me of this every year. Now he had retired. He then obtained more contracts, and I said that as long as you have employment, you should remain there. That is where you are required. With great bravery and wisdom, mashallah, he carried out all his tasks. Several baits or initiations took place through his means. He carried out the work of communication and liaison in the Middle Eastern countries. He was also an expert in accounts. For this reason, because of him being there, I had no worry with regards to the accounts of the Jamaats. Aside from this, whenever he was given any other important task or to resolve any problems, he would perform that work very excellently. Whenever he would come here, and he would come here very regularly, as soon as he came, it is not that he was tired and that he would rest. In fact, he would go to the mosque first. He would say all the prayers for the number of days he was here in the mosque in Masjid Fazl. This is why he had obtained a house here nearby. In short, he was amongst those helpers of Khilafat who were true Sultan and Nasirs, true helpers of Khilafat. There is a big gap of vacuum through his demise. May Allah the Almighty produce such people of righteousness who work in this manner with such obedience to Khilafat again and again and for all times. I have trust upon the loving God that He will bestow hundreds of thousands of such helpers, inshallah, God enabling. May Allah the Almighty go on elevating the rank of the deceased. May he be given a place amongst the feet of God's beloved. The details of his life are very lengthy. I hope and expect that those who are aware of him will write about him. May Allah the Almighty also bestow upon the UK Jamaat such selfless workers. May Allah the Almighty also be the helper and supporter of his wife and daughter.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له
Allah.